India has set a further grim COVID-19 record with more than 3,700 deaths reported over the last 24 hours. As the pandemic continues to surge across the subcontinent, India has become the second country in the world after the United States to report more than 20 million infections. The country still struggles, of course, to cope with the scale of the crisis, with too few hospital beds and inadequate supplies of oxygen. Srinivas Raghavendra is an economist who teaches at NUI Galway. He's currently in the Indian city of Bangalore, where his uncle died last week while being treated for COVID. Srinivas Raghavendra spoke to Kian McCormack. You might find aspects of his story upsetting.
We just lost my uncle just last week. He died of COVID just last Thursday. Bangalore is a city, urban metropolitan city, which is massively impacted by COVID. And the situation is really dire in Bangalore, where we could not find a bed for him. He had epileptic fits, and that was on Tuesday. We could not find a bed for about 24 hours, any of the hospitals, anywhere in Bangalore city. And he was essentially stranded outside a hospital building, waiting to be admitted, waiting to be seen by a doctor. And finally, they took him in a hospital called Baptist Hospital in Bangalore. They did a rapid antigen test and they found him COVID positive. The moment they found him COVID positive, they just asked us to leave the hospital. Again, we were stranded out. You know, all this took a long time, and, you know, in order to, we just could not find a bed anywhere to take him. And finally, after about 18 hours, we found a hospital, multi-speciality hospital, and found a bed for him. And they actually treated him. 2 days later, he just passed away because he died. Last Thursday.
I assume he was not the only one outside the hospital waiting to get in.
Oh yeah, he was not the only one. There was a long queue. There were many patients outside the building. Every hospital, there was absolutely not a single bed anywhere in Bangalore. It's just extraordinary situation that.
But can you describe the scene outside? What way are families reacting?
Well, my aunt was crying. I mean, you know, she was crying. And so this was a panic situation where we were crying for help. And there's absolutely, we could see the doctors were sympathetic. They were consoling us and so on. But they also have other patients lined up. You know, there are other people who are trying to get in. And they also have to, you know, take care of the safety protocols and precautions. So it was, you know, quite extraordinary. And at some point, you just lose hope at saying that, look, that's it. My uncle is going to die on the streets. Nobody's going to take care of him at that point.
Did your uncle have dignity in his death?
Well, I would say yes, in his death. He died at least in a hospital. What followed after that was, it was madness. It was absolutely, I would say, you know, the cremation, the whole process of cremation, that was not dignified at all. Nobody could see once you're pronounced dead with COVID. You know, the hospital takes care of cremation, and there were only three crematoriums available in Bangalore for this particular hospital. They said there were three crematoriums, and they send the bodies there, and crematoriums were filled out. And there was a queue outside the crematoriums to burn the bodies or bury the bodies. So we wouldn't know what time they're going to take the body. And nobody can go along with the body to the crematorium. And we wouldn't even know what time. And and it was horrible because the body was stranded for hours on end before on a side road, unnamed road, in front of a crematorium, and they got the last slot on that day to cremate his body, and that's it. I mean, it was tragic. He died without anybody, and he went without no one. His own mother, my grandmother, was about 96 years old, and nobody could see him well except my aunt and myself. But then his body was taken away. So then, you know, the Hindu rituals is that you take the ashes and immerse in some holy rivers, or any river for that matter. And his ashes, we don't get his ashes because that site was, you know, they were cremating hundreds of bodies. You know, he died in a dignified way. But, you know, after that, you know, that cremation process was, you know, it was just too painful. It was very hard to see. We haven't as a family got together to mourn his death. He was in late 50s. He was the youngest brother in my mother's family.
He's not just a man in his 50s. He's your uncle. He's your family.
Yeah.
What was his name?
His name is Balasubramaniam.
And he died on Thursday?
Last Thursday. Yeah.
Since then, you've moved home to your mother to help and support her. Where is that?
That's in Madurai. That's in Tamil Nadu.
The situation there is not as bleak at the moment, but the case numbers are rising.
Yeah, that's right. The case numbers are rising, and I'm very worried. I'm very worried that the fact that there is the hospital system, the public health system is collapsed. And there's also the private hospitals are charging patients with extraordinary fees and so on, and which people cannot afford here.
You found a hospital for your uncle. It was a private hospital, and that cost how much?
Yeah. About 50,000 per night, per day, yeah.
So that's 50,000 rupees, which is how many euro?
Let's say 600 to 650 to 700 euros.
And is that the usual cost of a private hospital?
No, no. This is the COVID related demand.
I assume it would be out of reach for many people.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's not possible for many people.
What way do you see the outlook?
The outlook in terms of from now on, it looks grim. The outlook is dire because it is spreading. People are not even reporting. So if they have symptoms, they're not going for testing because they have a fear that the moment they test, if they are positive, they'll be shifted into some hospital and they can't pay the money that the hospital costs, treatment costs, all that they can't pay. So they should just keep to themselves. So you don't actually see the numbers. At best, these numbers that you see, headline numbers, are underestimates.